Hi there. Do we really understand how our bodies and the relationship between our body and mind really work? How maybe everyday thoughts, decisions, even your lifestyle may be impacted by your body and not necessarily just your mind? Today we're going to shed some light on a topic that most of us either don't know much about or choose to ignore. Hello and welcome to the Charge Forward podcast, the very first one. And I'm your coach, James Belasco. And today I have the incredible pleasure of speaking to Dr. Tony Belasco from the UB Well Center for Holistic Health in Bethlehem, PA. And oh, by the way, it's not just a coincidence on the last name. He is my big brother. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me, man. I'm proud of you, what you're doing, and I'm excited for you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being the guinea pig here and coming on. We'll have you on again when the audience is much, much bigger. So I just want to start out by asking you about your journey. You know, where you started. I know you started in chiropractic and, you know, 30 years later, you know, you're working thoroughly in functional medicine. Just tell us about that journey.
Yeah, well, actually, it's like two parallel journeys together. One is a personal one and one's a professional one. So when I got out of chiropractic college, you know, I was all geared up just to start adjusting people, and it was going to rock their world and change their life, and, you know, it was going to cure everything. But, you know, 5-10 years into it, I started to realize that that wasn't necessarily the whole story. And also at the same time, I was starting my family and so forth. So my patients were coming to me, and they were like, you know, doc, I got this thyroid issue. My gut's a mess. I can't sleep. You know, how can you help me? Because I want to do it more holistically than allopathically. And I didn't have answers for them. I had no clue how to do that. So I just basically had to go back to school and start learning about, you know, I started with just general nutrition and then eventually got into functional medicine over the years. And same thing with my personal journey, you know, raising my children. I wanted to avoid the, you know, chronic disease that, you know, in our family, heart disease and thyroid issues and things like that. And I wanted them to not have that. So we had to take a different approach. At least I felt we had to take a different approach than the allopathic approach. So those two, you know, journeys just paralleled each other. They still are today, as we grow older and our kids are growing up and so forth. But that's kind of how I got there. I was almost forced to do it based on my patients' needs and my family's journey.
Yeah, and I, you know, kind of witnessed that, not firsthand, because I moved to Florida and we're maybe 1,000 miles away. So I didn't see the everyday, you know, growth in that direction for you personally or your family, but from afar, obviously, in the business aspect, I did. And I think the biggest question maybe some people listening would have, and I still ask questions to this day, like, what really is functional medicine? Like, how would you explain it to somebody like me?
Right. So I guess giving an example is the best way to do that. So, you know, the catchphrase is functional medicine, we look for the root cause of disease. And what that really means is we're looking on a cellular level, you know, at cell function. Now, if we can get really detailed and kind of geeky here, mitochondrial function and all these different things that we look at, that we know that if the body is doing that well, it's getting the right nutrients, it can heal. So that's kind of the root cause approach. Allopathic approach is more, you know, symptom approach. So, you know, most doctors, unfortunately, and let me just say this before I go on, I'm not against allopathic medicine. We have the best system in the world, okay? But it's not very good at prevention. You know, it's very good at after you're sick, come see us and then we'll fix you, you know, and it will keep us alive. So just want to clarify that. But, you know, functional medicine looks at that, takes a more preventive approach. We don't want you to get diabetes. We don't want you to get heart disease. We don't want you to get cancer. We want to stop it before it gets that far. And God forbid it gets that far, then the allopathic comes in to treat you, keep you alive and so forth. So ours is more preventable, you know, prevention oriented, and making sure that people's metabolism and basic functionality of their body is the best it can be.
Got it. And I think it's simple, but it's complicated in the sense of timing. Like, when does somebody decide to reach out to Dr. Tony? Yeah. Because maybe, you know, these things have been lingering for a long time. The doctor and what they have prescribed and that approach isn't necessarily working to the degree they want it to. So how does that work with most of your patients?
Well, unfortunately, I see, you know, most people after the fact, after they've been struggling for a period of time and they have tried a lot of allopathic approaches, medications and so forth, and they're either not working or they don't like the side effects or what have you. So, you know, people still aren't really being preventative, and probably the people that are more preventative in their lifestyle, I don't see them because they're doing okay.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's hard to say, you know, when a person should start seeing a functional medicine doctor. I think, you know, as soon as possible, because there's things we could do, genetic testing to look for predispositions, you know, in adolescents and things like that. You know, I have a gentleman coming in today, he's a college student, and he's really struggling. He's a lead athlete. He's a bicyclist. And, you know, he has some things that have been going on for a long time that had I seen him earlier in life, we might have been able to take care of as far as hormones are concerned. So, you know, right there, not that it's too late even for a young man, but it's important to get in as early as possible for the preventative side. But that's not typically when I see people.
Yeah. So from a preventative perspective, when people engage with you, are there certain reasons they do? I know everybody wants to be healthy and they want to try their best and exercise and work with somebody like you, but are there any particular causes that kind of force them into maybe taking a more serious look at preventative medicine?
Yeah, I mean, causes, you know, the standard American diet is probably the biggest thing that's killing people. Yeah. You know, just eating the food that we have, unfortunately. And then other areas are sleep and stress. That's where people, where they really lack in healthy sleep patterns, and stress is overwhelming, particularly since COVID, you know, and the political stuff that's been going on for years. I mean, people are just so stressed out, and it's starting to manifest in disease. So that's where, you know, those are the areas that I primarily see coming into my practice.
Yeah. Do, you know, on the stress side of things, do people make the connection between what's happening in their body and what's happening in their mind? Or do they look at those two things totally separately and try to handle it that way?
I think it's a 50-50 mix. You know, people, you know, they have access to a lot of information now. They can, you know, go on Dr. Google and find out all kind of stuff. So they come to me pretty well informed. But yeah, they don't always relate. For instance, the gut-brain connection, and we'll probably delve into that a little bit deeper, but they don't connect that gut with other symptoms, like brain symptoms, like joint pain, like headaches, you know, hormonal issues. They don't relate the gut to that. And that's probably the primary area that most people, at least the disease process starts off in their gut, some type of dysfunction of the gut or infection of the gut or something like that, you know, leaky gut, whatever. And that leads to these symptoms that they just don't relate to the gut. And that's a foundational part of what we help people with.
Yeah, the gut. So I see that a lot now. Yeah. There's, you know, all kinds of marketing, you know, how's your gut doing? And is that really new? I mean, for somebody like me, I'm like, wait a minute, everybody has a gut problem all of a sudden? How does, where'd that come from?
Yeah. Well, again, I think that, you know, the diet is a big part of that. And then stress. Diet and stress are the two biggest things that affect our gut. When you have, you know, when you have chronic stress, you have raised cortisol levels. Cortisol acts as a steroid. It starts to break down tissue. It breaks down the gut lining, creating a leaky gut scenario. And then the party's over pretty much from there, my opinion. People have always had gut issues, but I think in the last 20 to 30 years, it's gotten so much worse. And now we have, you know, they did the genome project back in the early 2000s. And when they did this project, they expected to find that we had, you know, I don't know, 200,000 different genes, you know, in our body. And they had all these functions and there was going to be a gene related to every disease. And then we could fix this gene and fix the disease and so forth. But what they found is we don't have that many genes. And I think, and I might have this wrong, but I think a fly has more genes than the human has. Cool. However, our genes are special genes, you know. One gene does many different things in our body. So we have like 25,000 genes. But what they discovered there is that the microbiome is huge. We have billions and billions of, you know, bacteria and parasites and fungi in our gut that are foreign to our body. We have more foreign cells in our body than we have human cells by like tenfold. And they run the show. Our body responds to this environment, and then it dictates how our body functions. So the gut is so complicated. Like people come to me and go, why can't we just fix it? You know, give me some probiotics or whatever. I'm like, you don't understand how complicated this is. You know, and we only know maybe 10 or 20% of the function of the gut. So we're still kind of guessing when it comes to treatments of, you know, leaky gut and SIBO and dysbiosis and Crohn's disease and all these things because it's so complicated.
Yeah, well, it is complicated. It would, what you just went through is, you know, something as just the average person, I would say, wow, I had no idea, number one.
Right.
I would be the person that would say, okay, give me whatever it is you have
sure.
just to fix it real quick.
Sure.
No side effects, by the way.
Yeah.
And, right? And let's do that. So kind of walk me through, if I come to your practice, what is the kind of the process? To number one, understand, you know, where I may need some help and assistance, and then how you kind of move me through the process.
Yeah, so the first thing we do is a consultation. You know, we get a history, we have you fill out some assessments, we do a detox assessment and a stress assessment, just questionnaires, and then we score them. So the first thing I look for is need. And our you know, my practice is very niche specific to hormone balance, stress response, gut health, those types of things. So, you know, we're looking for those people to fit into our system. So based on their answers, you know, the higher their score, the higher the need. And then the other thing we look at is a mindset. Like those, and we have people that come to us that do want that. Just give me a pill, doc. I don't want to change my diet. I don't want to exercise. I don't want to sleep. Just give me a pill. I don't accept those people into my practice because it's just not going to work. But basically, we go through that consultation process, kind of screening them. And then from there, we decide our game plan. We do two functional medicine tests for all of our patients. One is called the GI map, basically a stool sample, looks at gut health. And then we do a Dutch test, which is dried urine test for comprehensive hormones, which is urine and saliva. So we're looking at the HPA axis, the adrenal function and cortisol response, and then the sex hormones. But not just how much you're making, how your body utilizes them. We call those the metabolites. And then also the clearance of these metabolites through the body, which is very important. So basically liver function, gut function, some genetic function there. And then organic acids, so things that support the function of all of that, like B vitamins and serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, or neurotransmitters, you know, other gut findings, oxidative stress levels. So we look at the big picture. And that kind of separates us from the allopathic approach where you go in and they do, oh, we're going to test your testosterone, see how much you're making. Well, that's fine, but what are you doing with that testosterone? There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we put a specific game plan together for that patient. Lifestyle changes, you know, we have a whole program, 16-week program we put people into, and we coach them. And I have a nutritional coach that works with me, so we work on diet, work on lifestyle, you know, supplementation to correct those deficiencies they may have, and then get them on some type of maintenance plan after that, whatever that looks like.
So individuals have to understand when they come in, it sounds like you educate them very well. This is a commitment of sorts, right?
Yep. Yep.
It's to the whole process because yep. you need that. And then it really is a lifestyle change,
yep.
I'm sure, to a large degree.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do most people deal with that as they move forward?
You know, I would say if you did percentages, maybe 60% of the people don't want any part of it. They just don't. They're not willing to give up the things they need to give up, to be honest with you. The other 40% are 100% in. They understand, you know, and those people typically are struggling more. They've tried different things. You know, they've tried allopathic. They've tried holistic. They've done all the different supplements. But they need guidance because they don't, you know, they're just going on Dr. Google, you know, oh, this is good for that. This is good for that. They're taking supplements like you would take medication. And they don't work well that way for the most part. You know, because they're treating symptoms. They're not getting to the root cause. They have an allopathic approach, but they're using holistic vitamins to treat it. And that usually doesn't work well.
Yeah, it doesn't sound so. So when we talk about nutrition, right, and that's a big part of this whole thing, what are some kind of nutritional takeaways, some key takeaways that somebody could implement starting today? To help them change their lifestyle.
Yeah. From a nutrition standpoint, what I see mainly, the first thing is people do not eat enough healthy, good protein. They're just not getting enough protein, particularly as we age. You need even more protein as we age.
If so remember my from, beef sticks in the middle of the day when I don't have time for lunch, that's not good. Okay.
Says well, protein not necessarily. It's, you know, it's there's different ways to get protein into your diet as far as how much and when you get it and things like that. But, you know, it's the totality of the day. So, yeah, I eat beef sticks all the time. You know, chomps. I love chomps. They're clean. I get the one with no flavoring, you know, just beef and maybe there's some sea salt in there. I don't really know off the top of my head. But during the day, I want to make sure that I'm getting that 120, 140 grams of protein that I need. Everyone's a little bit different there, how much protein they need. And when am I taking in that protein, you know, before exercise, after exercise, you know, those types of things. So that's how we guide people through that. So, but protein is big. And what I really see is particularly women, perimenopause, menopausal women are absolutely not getting enough protein in their diet. And it becomes more important as we age to get that protein in. The other thing where we lack is fiber. Most people are not getting enough fiber in their diet. We're not eating enough fruits and vegetables typically, you know, to reach that 30 grams per day target that we want people to be at. And then probably the third thing is hydration. People are dehydrated and your cells do not work well when they're dehydrated. So if I can just get a patient to do those three things, get more protein or adequate protein, sleep or you know, eat enough fiber and hydrate, a lot of things change.
Yeah, I think I could, the first two, I think I could manage. I think like I'm, you know, taking in a lot of water and so forth throughout the day. I certainly do in the morning.
Yeah.
But as the day goes on, it kind of falls off and, you know, you're dehydrated for sure. And you can tell. Yeah. So that's the hard thing. Cause I see people that have those big jugs of water and they,
Mine goes with me everywhere.
There you go. And I, you know, I don't see myself doing that, but, you know, I try to do it and, but it's top of mind now, because I know how important it is. Yeah. So maybe a little bit of a difficult question. What do you think is the biggest misconception? Because if you go online about functional medicine and kind of where it derived from and so forth, and I think there's a lot of confusion out there. When I go online and do some research, there's so much information and I'm, you know, I have a feeling it comes down to a practitioner like yourself versus anybody else. But to me, that's like anything, right? Yeah. Who you're working with, and their level of expertise and care and so forth. But what do you think the biggest misconception is that holds people back?
I think the biggest one is expense. A lot of people think functional medicine is very expensive because it's all out of pocket. Part of the reason is, you know, insurance companies want a diagnosis. And in many states, like I'm in Pennsylvania, I cannot treat a disease with nutrition. I'm not allowed to do that legally. So I can't put a diagnostic code and bill an insurance company. My license allows me to support people with nutrition, you know, so I can test for it and find deficiencies and then, you know, give recommendations. But the biggest thing is people think it's so expensive, but when you really look at what people are spending money on as far as healthcare is concerned, you know, the average person spending, you know, $15 to $2,000 a year on meds, over-the-counter meds or prescription medication. If you have diabetes, you're up there, you know, with your supplies and medication, $20,000. Same thing with any type of heart disease, you know, and this isn't like having surgery or anything. This is just, you know, medications and doctor's visits and testing and things like that. God forbid you should get cancer, you're probably looking at $150,000 that year out-of-pocket expense. So when you look at prevention, and, you know, I don't know what the average functional medicine doctor charges, but my guess would be somewhere around $5,000 for some type of program that may last 4 to 6 months. That you do once in a lifetime maybe, you know, and then you're on some type of maintenance program where you're probably spending, you know, I don't know, a couple $1,000s a year on supplements and lifestyle things. You know, it's really cheap. Functional medicine becomes very cheap. You know, but the big, you know, people come to me all the time. They go, wow, we hear you guys are really expensive because you don't take insurance. But when you really look at the numbers and, you know, any of those basic, you know, the big five diseases that people, most of the population have, right? Most of the people over the age of 40 have two metabolic diseases. They're spending a lot more money on treatment and medication, not to mention time lost from work, time with family, you know, all those other expenses that aren't added in.
Right. And do you see, you know, you mentioned athletes earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, you know, when I look at the chiropractic side and years ago, long time ago, when I was a young kid and I was interning with the Denver Broncos, they had a chiropractor on their staff, but yet a lot of, you know, us, you know, normal folks, like we were thinking chiropractic, that's kind of crazy. Why would you do that? Why do athletes in particular think differently when it comes to whether it's chiropractic, preventative medicine, healthcare, or anything else, you know, that would really impact their bodies?
Yeah. Well, research, you know, those guys, they have the best of the best. You know, they have the best doctors and staff on their team, right, helping them. They have the best nutritionists and dietitians and people that understand how the body works. And then they get results, you know. And I don't have any particular examples off the top of my head. I've never treated a professional athlete, collegiate athletes. But, you know they all use chiropractic care. I know Tiger Woods had a chiropractor, you know, because he performed better. And of course, he had back issues and stuff like that. But it's not just about back pain. It's about performance, right? When you're a professional athlete. So when they take care of themselves, when they eat right, and, you know, I think a big proponent of the natural health is Aaron Rodgers, right? His dad was a chiropractor, maybe still is a chiropractor. He eats healthy, you know. Tom Brady, the same way. Their diets are impeccable because they know that. So, you know, I think they just see the results when they're using chiropractic care, holistic care, functional medicine. They just get better results. They perform better. They respond to injury better. They have a better mental outlook on life, you know, and better drive and motivation.
Yeah, I just find it interesting because we all know that these, you know, top level world class athletes do these things and think that way. But yet some of us still have this, you know, we're hesitant. Like, I don't know if this stuff is really going to work for me.
Right? And I get that all the time. They're like, what are your credentials? I'm like, well, I'm a chiropractor. And they go, oh, well, what do you know about functional medicine? I'm like, well, I was trained. And actually, if you go back to like the early 70s when functional medicine was just at its grassroots, they were all chiropractors because we have always had a holistic approach to health. You know, we didn't have all the tools that we have now available to us back then, but the chiropractors were influential in developing these labs that we now have that, you know, MDs are using, NDs are using, DOs are using, PTs are using, you know, all the professions are using them. But really, chiropractic was at the core and the grassroots of all of that, particularly on the West Coast back in the 70s. All the hippie guys. They're all chiropractors, right? They're all like Stanford grads and, you know, UB Berkeley and all these places, but they developed all these labs over the years, and there was a lot of chiropractic influence on it.
Yeah. So since COVID in particular, there's been such an increase in the awareness of mental health issues, anxiety, depression, and so forth. And a lot of people have more ways than ever to reach out and get that support. From your perspective, have you witnessed that increase, and how do you approach that with people?
Absolutely. I mean, I do like Facebook ads, you know, and I do different topics, and anxiety and depression. I've done, you know, videos on those. And to this date, the one I did on depression has gotten the most hits, the most likes, the most followers, by far, like three times better than any other topic I talked about. So that, and I was shocked by that. Just one day I said, oh, I'm going to talk about depression and our approach to that and so forth. And that was maybe 3 months ago. And that is still out there. And every day people are following me because of that particular ad that I did. And COVID really did have an effect. And maybe it was, you know, somewhat more, I was more aware of the issue with people because of the press that it was getting. Because if I look back before COVID, I don't recall. I mean, people always had stress and anxiety, but the amount of depression that I was seeing coming into my practice, I think a lot of it was related to some of the cardiovascular effects of COVID, either the vaccine or having COVID itself, that it was having on younger people. And then, of course, the whole isolation thing and, you know, people being fired and losing their jobs and all the stress that went along with it. So, yeah, a huge increase. And I still see it today. Like the cardiovascular people that I was seeing in 21 and 22 on a regular, like every week someone was coming in with a heart condition that they never had before. That's kind of gone away a little. I don't see that much anymore. But the anxiety and the depression and the sleepless nights and the hormone imbalances are still here. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing how not just aware people have become, but open about their, you know, their conditions or issues, and that they're working with somebody, which is a really positive thing.
Yes, it is.
Because other people will then feel more comfortable to do that. You know, I love working with people. I've been in sales for a very long time.
Right.
And, you know, I'm into sports and stuff like that, very competitive, like you. Right. And,
yeah, you are.
And things. So, I'm always curious about folks when they're putting a goal out there for themselves, whether it's personal, professional, whatever, and then they put a plan together and they want to achieve this goal. And I know that to do that, they need, you know, a plan, number one.
Right.
They need confidence, they need to focus, and they need perseverance, because there's usually going to be a time when nothing goes right and you give up, whatever. So how much does having your body in tune and handling some of the things that you're talking about impact those particular thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it's huge, right? I think that when you have a healthy body, well, let me put it to you this way. When someone's on their deathbed, they typically don't say, you know, oh, I wish I made more money or those types of things. They typically say, boy, I wish I spent more time with my family. I wish I took better care of my body. You know, those are the typical things they're saying when they're really sick, right, at the end of their life. So those are the most important things. And I think that as far as performance is concerned, when you have a healthy body, it clears your mind. Because if we just talk about gut health, you know, 80% of your serotonin, which is your happy neurotransmitter, is made in your gut. 50% of dopamine, which is your motivational neurotransmitter, is made in the gut. So if you don't have a healthy gut, you're not making enough serotonin and dopamine. So you're going to be depressed. You're not going to be motivated. You know, you're going to have a negative outlook on life. You're not going to be thinking clearly because you're going to have brain fog. You're going to have memory issues. You're just not going to be performing. There's just no way you can perform at your peak level. You may be getting through life okay, you know, but you're not going to be at your peak level. So if you want to be at your peak level, I think it's very important that your body has to be there also. I think that's kind of the first step. You know, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but the mind is very important. The mind is very powerful. You know, so I usually refer people out to therapists, you know, to get that part of it done. But I also believe that if you have a healthy body and a healthy mind, you also have a healthy spiritual life. And I believe we're spiritual beings first, you know, spiritual beings on a physical journey, that type of thing. So, you know, to me, the body is very important, not the most important thing, but very important in having a healthy mind, healthy outlook, healthy motivation, you know, being happy, not being stressed, not worrying, you know, those types of things.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of coming up on time. Anything else you want to add about the importance of functional medicine, preventative care, or just, you know, like you just said, tying that mind, body, and spirit together?
Yeah, I think, you know, the earlier you had asked, you know, when should people start seeing a functional medicine? You know, at age 30, our body starts to decline, unfortunately, you know, in many different ways, you know. Yeah, so mitochondrial function, you know, and you may not feel it then, you know, it may take decades before you start to feel that. But the earlier you can start taking care of your body, the earlier you understand what your body's good at from a metabolic standpoint, what it's not good at, maybe what genetic predispositions you may have, the sooner you understand that, the better you're going to be able to make choices as far as your health is concerned, you know, down the road. And I think that starts around age 30. So, you know, the biggest takeaway I would say, if you're 30 or older, you know, start seeing a functional medicine doctor, or at least reach out to one, you know, get informed, see what your options are, where, you know, where you live. Like, I see people all over the country because we do virtual visits, but, you know, maybe you have somebody local you'd rather deal with. But start as soon as you can, because prevention is the key. You want to prevent these things from taking place.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for jumping on the podcast. I appreciate it. For those of you out there, Dr. Tony is one of the most caring, intelligent, experienced folks that you could work with to improve your overall body, mind, and soul. And I would recommend reaching out if you feel that and you want to do that. So thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to go to ubwell.com, learn more about functional medicine and Dr. Tony. And remember to hit the subscribe button down here so we can start having people more people listen to this podcast, but also the future ones to come, which are going to be awesome. And you could always go to chargeforwardcoaching.com. You can learn more about me and the way I help and coach people across the board. And that's pretty much it. We appreciate your time, and you guys have a great day. Keep charging forward.